Okay, let's open our Bibles this morning to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I want to entitle the message, Do Not Put Out the Spirit's Fire. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Verse 19, five word verse, do not quench the Spirit. The New International Version reads, do not put out the Spirit's fire. Is that correct, Brother Scott? And I think God's word translation reads, don't put out the Spirit's fire. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, we thank you for your love for us. Thank you for the honor of standing here with our hearts open, with our minds open, Lord, to hear your word minister to our lives. Gracious Father, I pray that your Spirit would teach us, would guide us, would illumine aspects of our hearts where this truth that we're about to explore needs to be applied in our lives. We're thankful for this always. In Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior's name, we pray. Amen. About 5 years ago, I was running at the beginning of 2014. I had a marathon planned to run back home in Texas, in El Paso. And, I went down and one of my buddies was running the half marathon of that same marathon. And I was running the full, he was running the half. And he was like a neighborhood kid that I had grown up with and gotten in trouble with more than once. But he decided to gather together some of all the neighborhood friends that we all, we grew up with each other. And so I had not seen some of these guys in decades. So it was a nice treat to see all the neighborhood kids that we used to play baseball. We just went through story after story of things we had done and thankful we were still alive. And, we didn't burn down our entire neighborhood. And one story came up that I had completely forgotten. Well, my friend that was running that half marathon, he expressed the time, he refreshed me of the time that I had burned down his garage. Yeah, this is no joke. We were playing in his garage and we were playing with lighters. And unbeknownst to us, there were some flammable fluid substances there. And before we know it, the shelves, some of them had turpentine, some of them had stuff that was very flammable, and so it caught on fire. And the next thing I know, we're trying to get stuff to try to douse the fire, trying to, wave stuff at it. We were just kids, so we didn't know what to do. So I said, why don't you run into your house and call the fire department, because this was way beyond us now. I mean, it was big and huge, and the flames were kind of going up to the top of the ceiling of the garage, and the smoke, black smoke's beginning to billow out and such. I remember the guys just jumped off the truck, the fire engine, and they took their hose out, they took fire extinguishers out, and by this time a portion of his roof had collapsed, of the garage had collapsed. And one of our church members said, are these stories true? I said, they're 100% true. And then the next comment out of their mouth was, I bet your mother was a saint. She was. She was on her knees I credit her closeness to Jesus based on my craziness as a kid. Kept her on her knees. So anyway, so the fire chief, begins to engage us in conversation, and we're just like, and he said, who's responsible for this fire? Well, at that precise time, one of our mutual friends was walking down the alley that led to my friend's house, because his garage is right next to an alley. So we looked up, and there he is, and we said, he did. And the fire chief is like this. And the kid looked down the alley at us, pointing at him, and he turned around and hightailed it out of there. Why do I share that story? Thankfully, that fire was able to be contained before it got to the house and burned more. Now, this morning I want to talk about putting out a fire that we want to keep lit and aflame and don't want to put out. The Holy Spirit comes, church family, into our lives, and he ignites a fire the day that we give our lives to Jesus Christ. How many of you believe that? There's a fire in our soul. And I see that fire here. You know what blessed me immensely while we were praying? I heard your voices praying. I love that, because that says that you're not just being an audience, you're being a participant. So you're not a spectator, you're a participator. You're a participant in this. Well, that's the fire of the Holy Spirit in your life. You know, we are to keep that fire aflame, but what was the command in the scripture that we just read? Don't put it out. So if God tells us, don't put it out, then the logical question is, can we put out that fire? Yes, we can. Wow, God has given us that much power over the presence and activity of his Holy Spirit in our lives. Isn't that astounding? Don't put out the Spirit's fire. Don't put it out. Now, I want to show you a couple of slides of a fire that has been burning for the longest time, the longest burning fire on planet Earth. This is called Mount Wingen. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly. It might be Wingen in South Wales, Australia. The longest burning underground fire in the world. The longest burning fire in the world. Okay, and let's see the other slide, please. That's what the mountain looks like. But it is from the underground, and it is in South Wales, Australia. Who wants to take a guess at how long this fire has been burning? Anybody? Nobody? Try 6,000 years. 6,000 years. This fire has been burning for 6,000 years nonstop. Now, that is an earthly fire in an earthly mountain. How cool would it be? How much difference would it be if we had a long-lasting fire of the Holy Spirit in our lives without it being put out? It would be awesome, wouldn't it? What difference would it make in our lives? Everything. Would we reflect Jesus accurately? I'd say so. Would we have joy unspeakable and full of glory? I'd say so. Would we always look at things with hope instead of gloom? I think so. I'd say so. Right? So who wants to know how to keep this fire from being put out this morning? Okay, so let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and go up a couple of verses, okay? 1 Thessalonians 5, let's read verse 16. What does that read? This two-word command, what does that say? Rejoice always. Evermore. How often is always? Forever. Rejoice always. How can I rejoice always? How many of us have met people who have Jesus in their hearts, but they're not rejoicing? They're gloomy, down. You know, we all go through seasons of hardship, and sometimes that hardship puts out the Spirit's fire in our life. Who would agree with me? Sometimes physical pain snuffs out the Spirit's fire in my life. Sometimes attacks from other people snuffs out the Spirit's fire in our lives. Can I get a witness? There are things that can happen to us that can cause us to unwittingly put out the Spirit's fire. But as believers, we can make every effort to rejoice always. Listen, it is an act of the will. We must make a quality decision that we won't be rattled, that we will rejoice evermore, that we will rejoice always. You know, I was thinking about this particular point driving down here, and I thought about that scripture in Psalm 23 that says, God lays a banqueting table before us every day of our lives in the presence of what? The presence of our enemies. You know what the problem is, church family? Some of us aren't looking at the banqueting table. Some of us are looking at the enemy. How many of us know that life doesn't have to be perfect for you to rejoice? The fact that I'm saved and I get to spend an eternity with Jesus, that is cause enough to be happy all the rest of the days of my life. I get to be with Jesus forever. That ought to make us happy, right? So if God has this banqueting table before us in the presence of our enemies, then how can I keep from looking at the enemy and how can I start feasting at the table? I was thinking about this driving down this morning and this verse came to me. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 15. A merry heart is like a continual feast. So how can I keep from obsessing over the enemy in his presence and begin to enjoy the feasting table that the Lord has spread before me? A merry heart is a continual feast. I want to feast every day of my life. How many of us know, church family, that life is short? Right? Life is short, man. It's too short. And with every passing year, the more life seems to get faster for me, and the shorter the days seem to me. So let's make the most of us by rejoicing always. And how do I do that? A merry heart is a continual feast. Make up your mind this morning that you're going to be happy in spite of the enemy or the problems around you. This is good teaching. Amen? Amen. I'm going to have a merry heart. That's what's going to cause me to feast on God's table, banqueting table set before me. Number two. Okay, next verse, 17. Pray without ceasing. I've got a confession to make. I can be a very stubborn person. I'm sure you guys are foreign to that reality. I know all of your wills are pliable before the Lord Jesus. How many of us can admit, are secure enough in the presence of the Lord and the presence of his people to say, you know, we have some stubbornness. But listen, do we pray? You know what? The reason why I bring up the stubbornness issue is when I was much younger and even up until my early middle age years, you know, I just did things without consulting with the Lord. And a lot of times I did things without praying about it in my own personal life. You know, when it came to church stuff, I prayed about that. But when it came to my own personal life, I would never pray about that. And I would never seek the Lord's counsel. And then at times I wondered why I struggle with certain things so much. Because I went out in the energy of my strength instead of in the energy of the Spirit's fire within me. Amen? Right? And so what I have learned, the key to success in our personal walks with Jesus, is pray about everything. Pray always. You know, this whole worry thing. You know, the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, worry about nothing, pray about how much? Everything. Worry about nothing. Well, that's easy for you to say, Joe. Don't we all have challenges? I mean, there are some things that I pray for about my daughters. My world is not perfect, church family. My world is not perfect. There are people in my life that I pray for constantly, and I'm saying, Lord, they are just a hard nut to crack. Lord, you got to do something with them. And so we just continue to pray, right? Because that's our only recourse. So praying keeps the Spirit's fire burning. Who wants to be like that mountain, Mount Wigan, in South Wales, Australia? I want to be like that. I want to burn, baby, burn. Number three is verse 18. In everything do what? Give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In everything, give thanks. Do we give thanks for the good in our lives? Do you realize, church family, that as Americans, we are the most blessed people in the world from standpoint of provision and resources? If you took a warm shower this morning, you're more blessed than 80%, maybe 85% of the world. They don't have running water in other countries. They don't have warm water in other countries. You know, one time, we're so used to these blessings that you don't realize how blessed you are until you don't have it. I went to the gym once. This was about a year and a half ago, and their warm water was done. Well, I didn't find that out until after my workout, and so I'm testing the water and waiting for it to get warmer, and it's not getting warmer. So I go outside, and there's a sign there that I'd go. I'm like, ooh. How many of you know that at that moment I became increasingly thankful for warm water? You know what I'm talking about? You're not thankful for things until you do without them. We can't, church family, minimize the smallest blessings in our lives, because it is the smallest blessings in our lives that really make life what it is. Do you realize that you can rewire your brain? I'm going to give you a nugget of truth that will change your life in 21 days. If you're depressed, if you have negative thoughts constantly, if you're always worrying, depressed, here's the surefire cure. Find three things that you are thankful for every day for 21 days, and you will rewire your brain to think thankful instead of to think, I was going to say crappy. Is that okay? Yeah. Crappy thoughts. I don't want to think that. I want to be thankful. Three things I can give you. Number one, I have a gorgeous fiance with a heart of gold. I have three daughters that love Jesus, serve Jesus. I have two sons-in-law that love God, have a heart for God. I have three gorgeous grandkids. And if you're on Facebook, you get to see them. You've gotten to see them quite often here this past week. But I love my life. Not because, listen carefully, not because I deserve to have a good life. Hello. But because God has decided to give it to me anyway. And I identify how good my life is when I give thanks. And sometimes, church family, we ignore how great our life is when we refuse to give thanks. And we start, instead of finding three things we are thankful for, we start finding three things we are not thankful for, that we are critical about. Come on, somebody. Grinding axes about. That we're short-fused about. So which person are you? Are you the three things to be thankful for a day? Or are you the person that finds three things to gripe about a day? Giving thanks in all things. Now, so far so good? Now listen, one of the fruits of that fire burning in our lives is boldness. Who could use a little more boldness in your life? How many of you would admit to me today that sometimes for some of us it's awkward to share Jesus with a stranger? Yeah. If you have that fire burning, it'll be so natural. It's like introducing them to your best friend. It will not be awkward at all. Boldness. That's something that can happen every day. Now, church family, do we have the boldness to talk to others about Jesus? Can we tell them with ease? With ease about the same way I talk about sports, the same way we talk about the sun, the same way we talk about the flowers, the same way we talk about the weather.
Can we tell another person? That's a sign of the Spirit's fire burning in our lives. Don't put it out. Because how many of us know that when we try to do something awkward, it communicates awkward to the person we're trying to share Jesus with? But when we do it naturally, it really ministers to them. Let's close and pray. Gracious Lord, what an honor it is to minister your word. And Father, we pray this morning that you would help us, Lord. Help us to keep the Spirit's fire aflame. Help us not to inadvertently put out the Spirit's fire, God. Help us to always rejoice, Lord, even in the midst of our problems, to always look for the positive, to always look for things to be happy about, Lord, to remember what we've been delivered from, to remember to what we have been delivered, the good that we've been delivered to. Father, thank you for it. May we not wait for life to be, quote unquote, perfect before we begin to be happy. Help us to feast with that merry heart in the presence of our enemies at the banqueting table you have spread before us. Help us to be thankful, Lord. Help us to pray about everything. Through Jesus, we offer this to you. Amen.